الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ما بعد respected elders brothers and sisters السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. If you are someone who cares about gas prices and fuel economy, you may have, well, you probably noticed that the prices came down and they're going back up, but that's not what I'm talking about. You may know what the optimal speed is for getting the best fuel economy from your vehicle. And it is said that it's around 90 kilometers an hour. So if you drive at 90, which is 10 kilometers an hour below the speed limit on our highways. So people might be overtaking you, but you will be getting most optimal fuel economy by driving at 90 kilometers an hour. Now, if it's snowing, and I hate to remind you of snow, of course, because we're in March, alhamdulillah, but let's say it's snowing, and you try to drive at 90 kilometers an hour, because you want the optimal fuel economy, it may not be a good idea because 90 may be too fast for the road conditions, for the snow or ice that may be present on the roadway. Now, on top of that, if it is nighttime and let's say it's snowing and the visibility is poor, then you may need to adjust your speed even more, so that perhaps instead of driving at 90, you would be driving at 80 or 70 if there was snow during the day, and if it was nighttime, you may even slow down further. And if a driver does not adjust his or her driving habits or the way he or she is driving in these different conditions, and if the driver does not balance the various factors that are present and what they demand, meaning if the driver does not consider and respect the demands of the conditions that are present, then that is a recipe for potential disaster. Right? So if somebody is driving too fast in the snow, we know what happens. Right? You're driving cautiously on the highway, it's snowing, and then there's someone who thinks, you know, they have an SUV or 4x4, my apologies to all those who own SUVs, but I saw that actually, I was just getting onto the 417, it was maybe about a month or so ago, from Eagleson, and I was driving cautiously because I can feel, you know, how my car is behaving in the snow. And I saw this fellow steaming ahead in the fast lane, the left lane, and I could see him in my rearview mirror that he's coming. And all of a sudden, you see him just going a tailspin. Right? But alhamdulillah, the cars that were coming behind him were a bit further away. But I did notice that there were no cars coming behind me after that, so I figured that traffic was stopped for some time. So if a driver does not adjust, does not respect the conditions that are there, then there is the potential for serious problems. Similarly, in our lives, there are many different parts, many different factors in every area of our life. When we look at ourselves, it's not, you know, if you look at yourself in the mirror, you see your body. But our body is not totally who we are. There are different parts to us as well. So we have our body, we have our spirit, our soul, our mind, and each has its own needs and its own demands. And sometimes those demands are competing. Right? So you really want to study and you want to put your mind to something, but you also need to work out, and you also realize that you need to strengthen your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's this different, you know, different competing demands sometimes, or needs. And in our daily lives as well, we have ourselves that we have to take care of, mind, body and soul. But then we also have our families, we have work, we have school, perhaps, the needs of the community, there are those who are needy, there are those who are oppressed. So there are so many different parts or groups out there, or different segments out there that require or demand our attention and towards whom we have a responsibility and duties. And each one has its rights. Each one, each area of our life has its rights upon us. And therefore we have a responsibility towards each one. And that's just for us as individuals, for each person. Every single person that exists, every single person that is here, every single one of us has certain responsibilities, has certain duties towards others. And then when we look at the entire universe, at every level, it has been created with a system. It's not random. It's a system made up of many parts that cooperate and that obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it works in a seamless way. It continues to work, and they all continue to interact with each other and continue to fulfill their duties and their responsibilities. So each part of the entire universe plays a role, and each is designed to interact with others in a balanced and a just way, so that there's harmony between them all. Because most of these parts don't have free choice. They are subservient by force to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have to do it, they have no choice. But human beings, we have choice. The jinns, they have choice. Animals, they have choice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a system, and as He tells us in Surah Ar-Rahman, وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ. And the heaven He raised and imposed the mizan, the balance. أَلَّا تَطْغَوْا فِي الْمِيزَانِ. That you not transgress within the balance. وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُحْصِرُ الْمِيزَانِ. And establish weight in justice, and do not make deficient the balance. So these three verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the mizan and the balance. And some of the commentators of the Quran, and many times if we read it ourselves, we understand it sort of in a literal way, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the importance of making sure that we weigh things properly, and that, you know, we don't cheat, and we maintain truthfulness and a balance in our dealings. But also there's a broader meaning here in terms of equity and fairness and justice, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that in His universe that He has created. And that is something that we too should adopt, that we too should be mindful of, even though we have the choice not to. We have the ability to not be mindful of that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that the entire universe and everything He has created has been made, has been built with this perfect balance. And we too are supposed to be part of that system. We too are supposed to be part of that harmony. But if we don't follow, if we transgress, then we are going to disturb that harmony and that balance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And this is not just about, you know, us being just and fair people, but that everyone and everything should be balanced, that all rights should be given, all responsibilities should be fulfilled in the best and the most balanced way possible. Right? So we have all these competing needs and competing duties and responsibilities, so they should all be fulfilled in the most balanced and harmonious way as possible. And even in our deen, our religion, we are taught to be balanced when it comes to matters of faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And thus we have made you a justly balanced nation and community. We have made you, meaning us, this ummah, has made it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us, or made this ummah, a justly balanced community. And this is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has created us, and the guidance that He has given us to this ummah is balanced. It's in the middle of two extremes. Right? And also then means that if you follow this guidance properly, we do justice to everyone and everything who has demands upon us, including Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are just and we are balanced and we are moderate. There were two paths that were taken by people in the past that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted in various places in the Quran. One path was of extreme love. Extreme love. And the other path was of extreme hatred and disbelief. Right? So these were two extremes. So for example, some people in the past, some nations of the past, they belied the prophets. They denied and they belied the prophets to the point that they even killed some of the prophets. They murdered the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, there were also those who loved the prophets so much, who loved the pious so much, that they started worshipping them. So we see two different extremes. Also, there were some who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given an emphasis on retribution, on getting revenge and getting justice. And there were others who were told just to forgive and to overlook justice and not to pursue justice. So these again were two different extremes. But in this deen, the version that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, has blessed us with, all of these things are balanced. We find a bit of both, and we are shown the middle way, the middle path. You know, subhanAllah, sometimes a simple visit, a simple interaction can open up totally new meanings, new understandings, new depth to a verse of the Qur'an, to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I had the opportunity, alhamdulillah, on some occasions to, you know, visit other places of worship, to visit churches, to visit synagogues. I was doing a presentation at a church, and I went through the presentation. And by the way, I never do a presentation on Islam. I always do a presentation on Muslims in Canada. And that includes Islam then. Okay? So I did a presentation. I went over various, you know, parts of our faith and the diversity and many other things. And in the end, there was a young lady, a nice lady. She raised her hand. We were asking questions and answers. She goes, you know, that was a lot of stuff. Like, that's a lot of things you have to believe in and you have to do. And, you know, like, that's lots of guidance, right? Because, you know, in my faith, she says, it's all about having a good heart. And you have a good heart and then, you know, you're good. That's all. You know, this is not so complicated. Right? Whereas, you know, you covered so many things and there's so many aspects to Islam. So of course I explained that Islam is a complete way of life and there's guidance on pretty much every matter that we have to deal with in one way or the other. So that was one comment I found that was very interesting. Right? So that was one side. Then, and this was in Kingston, the local rabbi, there's one synagogue in Kingston, so local rabbi who has now left as well, he left around the same time I left for different reasons. So he invited me, they were having a bazaar, he said, why don't you come and visit? So I went with my daughter, and alhamdulillah, they were very kind, very respectful, and he showed me around the entire synagogue, and he gave me a tour. And there was one part of the synagogue that he really wanted to show me. And he says, I'm going to show you the mikvah. I had no clue what a mikvah was. And I didn't want to ask either at that point. So he showed me around, and he's showing me how they sit, and, you know, where the congregation meets, the kitchen, which was very interesting because it was split in half, you know, half for dairy, half for meat, because they're not supposed to mix. And even the countertops were reversible, you know, one for meat, one for dairy, separate utensils, separate sinks, separate ovens, separate stoves, separate fridges, you know, everything. So it was very interesting to see. Then he said, you'll go down to the mikvah. I have no idea what the mikvah was. So you go in the basement, he turns the light on, and I'm like, okay, well, man, I don't know where he's taking me. So, not that I didn't trust him, but, you know, I was curious. So he opened the door, turned on lights, and went in, and it was like tiles, you know, like bathroom tiles. I don't know what it was. Then he says, there's a place to wash up here, there's a bathroom, there's a shower. I'm like, okay. Then he takes me to the mikvah. So it's basically, this looks like a big sauna covered with no water in it. and there's steps going down, and it's a nice, you know, cube, basically, square, you know, deep in the ground. And he said, the water that comes in here comes from, it has to be rainwater. So we have a tank, a collection tank on the top of the synagogue on the roof, which collects the rainwater, and then it comes down to the mikvah. And I wanted to know, why do people, you know, so we came out of there, and I said, okay, when do you use the mikvah? So he said, well, you know, if someone happens to convert for marriage purposes, they have to take a bath there. They change the water, of course. And, you know, if you have utensils that need to be turned into kosher utensils, so they have to be dipped in that water, there's a special ritual. So this is all very interesting. And I was reading about it, and I was reading up more about it when I got home. And basically, it's the whole concept of tahara, of purity, that we also have in our faith. So certain times when we have to take baths, right, for a man, for a woman, and so on. So the mikvah is used for those purposes. So they actually have to come and take the bath there. And he's telling me proudly that, you know, this is the only mikvah between Montreal and Toronto, in Kingston. So I said, well, you know, what if someone lives in Belleville? He's like, well, you know, they have to go, you know, to the mikvah, because they're supposed to take the bath there. So this is very interesting for me. And then I realized, subhanAllah, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Right, so we have the same principles that we find in terms of tahara, in terms of halal and haram, right? But it's not to that degree. On the other hand, it's about just having a good heart. And good heart is important, but it's not just about that either. And we are ummatan wasata, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us these same principles, but has given us a way which is neither all the way on this side, nor it is totally on the other side as well. Alhamdulillah. So the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has offered us is basically for us to live life in a very balanced and a very optimized way. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he lived this balance in every way, in every aspect of his life. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was the best of people, and very balanced, very moderate. Anas radiallahu anhu reports that three men came to the houses of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ and asked how his worship was. When they were informed, meaning about the quality of the worship of the Prophet ﷺ, they considered their own worship to be insignificant. And they said, where are we in comparison to the Prophet ﷺ when Allah has forgiven his past and future sins? The Prophet ﷺ is clean in terms of his spirituality, in terms of his deeds, his book of deeds. And this is the quality and the extent of his worship. So where do we stand compared to him? So one of them said, as for me, I shall offer prayer all night long. I shall offer prayer all night long. Another said, I shall observe fasting perpetually, never to break it. And another said, that I shall abstain from women and will never marry. So these were promises that they were making because they felt so deficient in their worship compared to the Prophet ﷺ. They felt like they really had to go above and beyond to really, you know, get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet ﷺ came to them, he said, meaning he found out and he came to them, said, are you the people who said such things? I swear by Allah that I fear Allah more than you do. And I am most obedient and dutiful among you to him. But still I observe fasting, meaning sometimes, and break it at other times, meaning it's not perpetual. I perform prayers and sleep at night. So I offer the night prayers, but I also sleep at night. And I also marry. So whoever turns away from my sunnah, meaning my way, is not from me. Meaning that the worship of the Prophet ﷺ was balanced. Right? There was balance. He ate, but he also fasted. He slept, but he also prayed. Right? He also married. Right? So he was taking care of all of these things in a balanced way. Another example, the Prophet ﷺ, when the Muslims had emigrated from Mecca to Medina, he had built, established bonds of brotherhood between one of the Ansar and one of the Muhajirun. And there was a bond of brotherhood between Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu and Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. So Salman paid a visit, he went to their home, and he found Umm al-Darda. So he found, meaning the wife of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, and she was dressed in shabby clothes. So he asked her, why was that so? Why was she in that state? So she replied that your brother, Abu Darda, is not interested in the luxuries of the world, of this world. In the meantime, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu returned home and he prepared a meal for him. And actually I noticed, he actually didn't say, hey, Umar Darda, why don't you make some food for Salman radiallahu anhu. But he came in and he actually prepared a meal for him, himself. And he said, please eat. So he himself actually was fasting. He says, please eat for I am fasting. Okay, so he was in a state of fasting. He came home, his wife was home, but he prepared the meal for his brother in faith. So Salman radiallahu anhu said that I'm not going to eat unless you eat. Okay, I'm not going to eat unless you eat. So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu ate. And this is the ruling actually, that if you are fasting and it's not an obligatory fast, it's an optional fast, and someone comes over to your house and you're serving them, you're actually, it's permissible, you can actually break your fast, eat with them, because you're the host, and it's inappropriate if you don't partake in the meal. It's not good etiquette. And then of course you can make up the fast later, inshallah. So he ate. When it was nighttime, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu got up to offer salah at night for the tahajjud prayer. And Salman radiallahu anhu told him to sleep. Okay, and he slept. Then again, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu got up to offer salah. And again, Salman radiallahu anhu told him, sleep. When it was the last part of the night, Salman said to him, get up now for salah. So both of them offered the prayers. And Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu said to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, your Lord, your Rabb has a right upon you, and your soul has a right on you, and your family has a right on you, so you should give the rights of all those who have a right upon you. So later on, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and mentioned that this had happened, and this is what Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu had said. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salman has spoken the truth. Salman has spoken the truth. So there is moderation and there's a balance in all of our affairs. So being just towards all of the different competing demands upon us, this is something which is very important. As our lives get more complex, we need more work on maintaining the right balance. You know, we often hear about the work-life balance, right? This is something that is mentioned, a term that is used. But for a believer, it's much more than just work and life, or life that includes much more than just, you know, the things that we enjoy and the things that we do to get by. Because it includes the body, the spirit, the soul, and the mind as well. So in our lives, once again, family, work, school, the community, the needy, the oppressed, and myself as well, each of us, we need me time, right, for our soul, for our reflection, for calm worship. Worship that is actually calm and our heart is into it. Right? Because otherwise we're always in a rush to do something else. So we need time, specified time to spend time properly to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to think and to reflect. You know, a lot of times we don't think enough. We just go with rituals, we just go with what's happening next because we're just used to moving so quickly. We also need time to slow down and to think and reflect. So we know, many of us know that this is important. And many of us also struggle with this as well. And how do we achieve that balance? How do we maintain that balance when we have so many competing interests trying to influence us or trying to get something from us? And very legitimately so many times. So this, my brothers and sisters, is actually the topic of the iLead conference, inshallah, which is coming up on Saturday, March 21st. The theme is in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the path to a balanced life. And there are a number of speakers, many of them prominent speakers, inshallah, who will be coming from outside of town and outside of the country as well to speak. So this is a one-day conference. It is a community initiative. So 11 of the most leading Muslim organizations in the city are the ones who are organizing it. It is not something that is done by one particular group or by, you know, some profit-making entity. It's a community, totally a community initiative. It's not making any money. I actually lost money last year. So your financial support is greatly appreciated. And inshallah, all the donations conducted today at Jama'ah time, so after Salah, will all be going to support the IV conference, inshallah. So whether you put them in the box, or in the boxes, or through the debit machine, inshallah, all the contributions made today will be going to support the IV conference. The Kannada Muslim Association is one of those 11 organizations that that is part of the conference. So please be generous in your contributions, and also please try to attend, support the conference in any way possible, spread the word, please buy your tickets. You can certainly, definitely buy them here, please. I know I talked about buying them online, I personally prefer that, but apparently there are a number of tickets that need to be sold, so please support our brothers and sisters who have worked very, very hard, and buy your tickets, please. Again, it's Saturday, March 21st. It's at the Palais de Congrès, the Gatineau Convention Center. Don't let it scare you when you hear Gatineau. Okay, it's not far. It's right across the river, right near the Museum of History, the Museum of Civilization. So it's not far at all, and it is definitely a place to be on Saturday, March 21st, inshallah. So please make an effort to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really make us the way He wants us to be. Right? This should be our du'a. May Allah azza wa jal make us the way He wants us to be. May He guide us to fulfill all of our obligations and responsibilities properly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us balanced in every way. May Allah azza wa jal enable us to follow His guidance in the best way possible and to live our lives as productively as possible and efficiently as possible. Ameen wa akhud awa alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We have two families which have lost loved ones recently, so please make dua maghfirah for their loved ones, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant patience to them and their loved ones. So first is we bid farewell and make dua for our auntie Mona Al-Ghalabi, who is the mother of our sister Amira Al-Ghalabi and mother-in-law of our brother Waleed Darwish. Allah Azza wa Jal grant her maghfirah and firdaus al-a'la and enlighten her grave. And our brother, our dear brother Jawed Iqbal, his father also passed away last week, and inshallah him and his family and friends will be gathering at our Musalla KMA, Musalla at 1120 March Road on Sunday, so this Sunday March 8th before Maghrib inshallah. Brothers are requested to join inshallah for that. And on Sunday as well, there is a prayer timing change coming with the time change. So the Jumu'ah prayer inshallah will start right after meeting the talk, and everything will start right after the time comes in. So it's going to be around 1:15 or so inshallah. We'll still aim to finish on time, hopefully inshallah. So please keep that in mind, and the various prayer times for the Musalla will also be changing. We have the Strive session for boys, inshallah, coming up tomorrow, Saturday, from 3:30 to 5:30 for ages 13 to 18 at the Catholic school at 100 Walden Avenue, inshallah. And this will be my last Jum'ah, inshallah, that I'm leading before I head for the Umrah trip, inshallah. Imam Ziyad Delich will be here next week. I will also be here, but I won't be leading because I'm leaving that night, inshallah. So please make dua for me and everyone else who is going with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this trip easy and accepts. And of course, forgive me for any shortcomings and any mistakes I may have made. If there's any dua requests, you can email them to me, imam@kanadamuslims.ca. Subject dua request, and do that before Wednesday, inshallah. And I will try my best to remember you in my du'as. And of course, make du'a for the maghfirah, the father of our brother Javed Iqbal, and the mother of our sister Mira, inshallah. Something off.
Allah.